Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone, and with me, as always, is your co-host, Andy Hart.
Yellow!
Little Bunker. Devil himself.
Don't mess with me because I am from the underworld.
You're from the underwear world.
Yeah.
Andy, you're a soulless husk of a man.
Yeah.
Does today's topic...
Yes.
It's true.
Yeah, you got me
Does
there.
Does today's topic speak to you at all?
I wish it did speak to me. I wish I had a soul that I could sell because I would love to get filthy rich selling selling the ethereal parts of my being.
Wow. Well, that's you're in luck, Andy, because actually, and bunk bunkers who are similar to Andy and want to look to sell their immortal soul, you know, their only soul, for earthly riches, power, influence, what have you, love. We're going to teach you how. We're going to teach you how this week.
this is less of a, you know, typically we're looking into paranormal, conspiracies, the bizarre, and we're sort of asking, is it plausible? Well, today is really more of a self-help seminar. It's a how-to. This is DIY, selling your soul.
This is how to sell your soul. Can you sell your soul? And we have a bunk bunker to thank for this.
That's right. This old soul.
Rocky,
OG bunk funker, long-time listener, long-time,
that's right.
Not first-time episode suggester, multi-time episode suggester, Rocky. Yep.
That's right.
And that's Rocky with a W.
That's Rocky with a W.
We're not going to tell you where that's in the word, but you it's figure Rocky it out. With a W.
Rocky, thank you for sending in this topic. This is a great one. A lot of fun here. Interesting topic and a lot to learn.
Yeah, we got a lot to learn. You know, I thought I learned everything about the soul when I listened to Don McLean's American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it even asked the question, can music save your immortal soul? And I knew that since I didn't have a soul, it couldn't.
I prefer the Weird Al version. This here.
Anakin guy.
But anyway, whichever version you prefer, Bunk Funkers, you of course can use the timestamp.
Maybe later someday Vader, now he's just a small fry.
Something.
I'll interrupt later when I think of the rest of the lyrics.
Yeah. Bugwiggers, of course, you could always use the timestamp to skip ahead to when the research begins. But first, Andy and I got to tell you how we got captured in the bunker. This week, also, we got a bunker alarm later in the episode.
Yeah, we're going to get you a bunker alarm here on 69.9 WSEX. Number one. Rock-a-rock-a-radio.
Bugfuckers, maybe some of you are familiar with the little platform called TikTok.
And we're not talking about the sound that a clock makes. We're talking about the Chinese app used to steal your personal information. And
also, ancillary thing that it does is allow you to post videos that others can view online under.
Right. Primarily, it's an app supported by the Chinese government to steal the personal information and data of American citizens.
Yes.
But it's also allows you to post videos.
Right.
That can be shared in your community.
Yeah.
And Art and I became
which
TikTok.
I think is a bug that they're going to work out eventually.
Right. I think eventually it's just going to be called Chinese Data Collection App. And it is straightforward. All you have to do is put your stuff in and you can uninstall it and they've got it. Yep. And you don't have to keep doing anything.
Yep.
So Art and I kind of became TikTok stars over the weekend.
You might have seen this. You might have seen some of our TikToks.
We've given our personal information to the Chinese government a long time ago. And we finally decided to start posting some videos. I don't want to say that we're the geniuses of our time, but we came up with a new dance craze.
Yeah. Pretty fucking cool.
It's called the Chicago Elbow.
Yeah.
And it's basically like where, all right, here's how it goes. This is a classic for this show where we're going to describe something that should be done visually with words instead, audio only. So you take your hands, you put them into fists, and you put the fists around at their waist area on the side of your body, and you just kind of move your elbows forward and back around your body. And so it's like, you know, people have said like, oh, it looks like a bird. You know, you can move them up and down, whatever. And it's called the Chicago Elbow. That's the dance craze. You know, essentially it's like, you know, you're dancing like, it's kind of like a chicken flapping its wings.
Well, allegedly it's like a chicken.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just as like a generic example.
Could
like,
be any kind of bird.
Could be any bird, any flightless bird.
But it's called the Chicago Elbow.
The Chicago Elbow.
That came along with a song.
Right.
That we also developed.
Right. It's, yeah, there's a Chicago Elbow. It's I won't lie to you, like Art and I are not composers. So the melody is a bit derived from a famous song, but not ripped off from.
No.
But it goes.
It's inspired by.
Yeah, yeah.
We were inspired by Andy. We were inspired by.
Another song.
Inspiration from.
So let me sing you a little bit of the Chicago Elbow.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't want to move my ankle. I don't want to move my toe. So I do the Chicago Elbow. Bop, 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 bop. And you move your elbows on the bop, 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 bop. And then it just goes like that forever and ever and ever.
We've been marketing this to you know.
I don't want
to
move my ankle. Yeah. I don't want to move my toe. So I do the Chicago Elbow. Bop, 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 bop.
Marketing this at weddings. We're getting this on wedding DJ plays.
Bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, quinceañeras.
Yep.
We are really targeting kids with the marketing for this.
The TikToking.
Yeah, we're definitely like, we are hip youngsters. And
well, we are.
We know that people will love the Chicago Elbow.
Yeah.
It's a very simple dance to learn, and it's really taken TikTok by storm.
And we were inspired by previous dance crazes. It was not ripped off from anything.
Not ripped off from anything. As you can tell, it's very original. I don't want to move my ankle. I don't want to move my toe. So I do the Chicago Elbow. Bop, 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 bop. That's never been done before.
No, and that melody, I mean, that's an original melody. It's really catchy and good, and we came up with it all by ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, things really, really took off for us. And I think for me, the climax, you know, the real climax of it was when we got an email from Bunk Row Records CEO Cheeseburger Knight.
Right. A lot of you may be familiar with Bunk Row Records and its CEO Cheeseburger Knight, who is a real titan.
I think the music industry is so awesome. It's totally making a comeback. It's not a dying industry at all. Like, it's such a good idea to get involved with the music industry.
Right. You especially want to be like tethered to a label.
Yep.
That somebody else runs.
They're there to protect you. They're there to manage your finances, to make sure, you know, your music.
They take the risks so you can just be an artist.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, we get this email from Cheeseburger Knight, CEO of Bunk Row Records, and it is really flattering. It's all effusive praise for the Chicago Elbow.
So much effusive praise.
How original it is and how not ripped off from any existing intellectual property it is.
Right.
And how little you look like a chicken when you do the dance and how much you could look like any possible bird. And it really accentuates the elbows and it doesn't really seem like wings at all. It
and
just
the elbow
seems like
is an often overlooked attractive feature that you can utilize. You know, a lot of people, they're always dancing with their butts. They're dancing with their hips. They're shaking tatas.
Thrusting their pelvises.
Thrusting pelvises. And we're saying, what about the fair elbow?
The elbow's sensual. If you've never sucked another person's elbow,
right.
I feel bad for you.
You even tugged a weenus in your life. Get out there.
Get out there and start jerking weenuses. You could be a teenage dirtbag and jerk as many weenuses
right,
as you want.
Right.
So, Cheeseburger Night graciously invited us to do basically like a huge party for the signing so we could perform the Chicago Elbow live for this underground like music club in the city here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I mean, we said, sure, of course we'll do this. This is our lifelong dream to
become part of the music scene. We talk about it every week on our podcast.
I mean, literally, we've never gone an episode without mentioning how much we want to be in the music industry and
right.
we want to be like famous songwriters and musicians. So it's like everybody's been waiting for us to hit our big break, and it's like finally the Chicago Elbow. I don't want to move my ankle. I don't want to move my toes. So I do the Chicago Elbow. Bop, 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 bop. It's finally going
to
get
us there. That's the wagon I want to strap my horse to.
Right. I'm strapped on right now to this wagon, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go Old West style down the Oregon Trail. You know what I mean? So we go to this club, and we get up, you know, we're backstage, we're getting ready, we're meeting with all the musicians, and we're like, do you know how to play an accordion? Because it's kind of...
Someone get me Weird Al.
Because it's kind of a big deal in this song. Like, we need an accordion.
Right.
And, you know, people are like, it's more of a modern... you know, these fucking dorks.
So dorky.
These dorky fucking ass musicians.
Right. These, like, danceable musicians.
Well, it's all... electronic music.
Oh, well, you gotta have a... You have to have a degree in computers. You have to be a computer whiz kid to make music now.
You don't. You gotta have...
Heart.
You gotta have a little fucking heart.
Yeah. You know what I got? I don't have a laptop.
Right.
I don't have a desktop.
I have an abacus.
And you know what I got? I got fucking music in my soul.
Yeah. I got music in my shoes.
When I sit down on the toilet, I shit music. That's how much music is in me.
Yeah.
I don't need a computer to create it.
Right.
It comes out of my body.
Right.
Every waking minute of every day.
These
I am
dorks.
Music. I'm one with the music. These fucking dorks.
These dorks.
These dork ass musicians.
Yeah.
So, whatever. They're fucking around.
Yeah. Fucking around with their fucking computers and their style and the microphones and all this bullshit that you don't need.
Yeah. So we're like, you know what? I'm starting to get pissed off. And I'm like, you know what? Get me an accordion or I fucking walk.
Right.
Cheeseburger Night. Get me Cheeseburger Night.
Right.
I want to talk to Cheeseburger Night in person.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll get me a goddamn accordion.
Yeah, he'll make things right.
And he's like, well, we don't have an accordion on site here. I'd have to go rent one. I don't really know how to play it. So I get pissed off.
You did. You were getting real fucking pissed.
I'm getting heated.
Yeah.
I take my Shirley Temple that I've been drinking and I smash it on the ground and I say, you know what? You can suck my balls, you egghead fuck. And then I pulled down my pants and I took a shit on the Shirley Temple on the floor.
So unnecessary.
I didn't have anything to do with that. I just had to shit. And then I storm out of the back of the club and you start chasing after me and you're like, wait, no.
I said, Andy, keep
Calm
your eyes
down.
On the prize.
And all of a sudden we get toward the back door of the club.
Yeah.
And it becomes apparent that all the people that are gathered are just like deathly silent. Mm-hmm. There's nothing happening. They're not moving. They're not talking.
A fucking pin drop, which is music.
Yeah, that's music, egghead. Not a fucking computer going bleep, blap, blorp. Fucking computers. So the next thing you know, the club just starts collapsing in on itself.
Yeah, the club couldn't even handle us.
It starts collapsing in on itself and we get pushed into this crush of people. We're like funneled into the center. It's like the club becomes like a Plinko board and Art and I are the chips and we're ping-ponging off of these stationary people who, even though the floor has risen up at a 90-degree angle, the people aren't moving at all. They're stuck to the floor.
Right.
They have no expression on their faces. They're just totally stiff, like they don't exist. Then we fall into the center of the club, and it closes on us. Everything's really dark for a while. We woke up here in the bunker. Club was Mr. Bunker.
That club was Mr. Bunker.
So now I have to wonder, were all of our likes and follows and all the engagement on TikTok, was that just Mr. Bunker 2?
Cheeseburger Night?
Was that Mr. Bunker?
Was that Mr. Bunker 2? I mean, Bunk Funkers, let us know. Did you see that
Cheeseburger
TikTok?
Night's a well-known music industry person. Yeah. He got shot.
Has Mr. Bunker been masquerading as Cheeseburger Night waiting for the week to do this exact abduction?
I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. The only thing I really know for sure at this point, Art, is that I don't want to move my ankle. I don't want to move my toe. I want to do the Chicago elbow.
And I got to tell you, I don't know if the music industry is for me. I saw a lot of things that really, really concerned me. Namely, you shitting on top of your Shirley Temple on the floor. That really, I don't think that the music industry is for me. I think it's just a den of sin.
Yeah.
And the things I saw.
I wouldn't have done that if it weren't for the music industry.
So unlike you.
Right.
You always shit in a toilet.
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
Never on the floor.
I'm never impulsive. I'm never a hothead.
And to really see behind the curtains, like it's like seeing Oz in his castle behind his little magical curtain. Right. Like in Wizard of the Oz when he has that magical curtain.
Right. Do you think he showered behind there?
He did. And he also had a toilet and a sink. And they were both the same. It was actually all three in one. And to see everybody making music with computers, I just don't. I think, you know, for me, it's all about the music, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. So I don't need this whole, like, industry and world and life and shit and bullshit, you know?
I don't think we can really monetize what we do in music because it's too real for
it's
people.
It's too fucking real.
It's too good. Like, most music industry people are not on our level. We're prodigies, and
they're not dropping bangers like we are.
Right. These people are failures. I mean, that's the reality of it, is that they would be like us if they were successes, but they're failures.
And a lot of them have sold their soul. And speaking of selling your soul, before we actually get to talk about selling your soul, we have to talk about someone else who sold their soul and signed up for our Patreon.
Right.
We have a new patron
to thank. We have a new patron to thank. We want to raise, we're going to ring the bunker alarm, Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 3000 today for this new patron.
Yeah.
But verbally right now, we're just going to say thank you to our newest patron, BK.
BK!
BK, of course, stands for Burger King. That's right. The Burger King King is an official patron of this show. So in honor of this occasion, every single Bunk Funker will receive a free Whopper in the mail. That will be in just a standard letter size envelope. Mm-hmm. We will not send you each one discrete Whopper. You will get a slice of Whopper from the one Whopper that we buy to send all the Bunk Funkers. So if you don't receive your Whopper within 8 to 10 weeks, please email us at MrBunkerPod@gmail.com and we will start the process where we will locate the slice of Whopper we sent you and have it routed to your correct address.
That's right.
And don't worry, our email box is not run by the Chinese government. It is not being set up to collect your personal information. Any rumors suggesting
that? And the ability to send emails is just an ancillary bug that is part of the application.
Right. Eventually, that'll be resolved. So don't listen to any of those rumors that
Stop
say that the
rumors.
Mr. Bunker Pod email box is run by the Chinese government.
But we got to fire up the bunker alarm for BK.
We got to fire it up for BK. BK, this bunker alarm, we're going to turn the machine on. It's going to play a bunker alarm just for you to match your personality and your love for the bunker.
It's going to capture you perfectly.
So let's go ahead and turn this baby on.
That's clean. That fuel is clean.
Man, that's some good pyrotechnic action here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking, let's see. Let's go this way. I'm going to do the old, this has just got one of these giant knobs on it.
Yeah, big old knob.
It's like one of those big bank safes.
Yeah, big safe.
Kind of thing. Let's see. Get the right combination. Okay. Okay, here we go.
Wow.
This is going to be a good one.
That is a good, I can see it.
This is going to match BK's personality. BK, thank you so much for becoming a patron.
Okay.
I hope you're really enjoying the thousands of hours of behind the scenes exclusive Patreon only content available only at patreon.com/MrBunkerPod.
Right.
And we hope you're having a great time being a patron. This bunker alarm is for you. We're going to play it here in 3, 2, 1.
Wow.
Wow. Much fanfare for
BK.
Well, this is the Burger King King.
That's right. Thank you again, BK.
Thank you, BK. I hope you're not actually the BK killer, Dennis Rader. Yikes.
BTK, but yeah.
Oh, BTK.
Yeah.
Right.
As long as the T's not there, we're fine.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Well, that's right. It was bind, torture, kill.
Yeah.
Not Burger King.
It's easy mistake to not make. Such an idiot. I'd say, Andy, it's a classic. Don't worry,
Burger,
silly little head.
Burger the King. BK, thanks again for your patronage. I'm just going to go ahead and shut off the Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 3000. Oh, fuck.
What?
Where's the off switch?
Well, Andy, you're in charge of the Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm.
Oh, well, I'll just shut it off the old-fashioned way with my tactical shotgun.
Oh, no.
Whoa, God, that was loud.
Look, sparks going everywhere.
Woo-wee!
My God.
Well, that's off.
Well, BK, thank you again for selling your soul to the Bunker Patreon. And Bunkfuckers, thank you again.
We promise we won't misuse it.
Bunkfuckers, you know, so many of you have sold your souls listening to this show many times over. And, you know, today's no different, but I think there's a little extra shosh on it. Just because we're gonna get an extra shush on it. Just because we're really gonna go over the whole process, the history of soul selling, the concept of a soul. What is the soul, and how to sell one's soul?
When you walk away from today's seminar, we want you to feel confident that you're entering the soul market.
Yeah.
With all the information at your disposal to make a responsible decision on selling your soul or obtaining a soul from another person.
That's right. That's exactly right, Andy. So let's get into it here. Let's not waste any more time. You bunkfuckers are hungry to learn how to sell your souls, and if you can, here on Mr. Bucker's Conspiracy Time podcast.
Now, at the end of the seminar, we are going to ask you to fill out just a simple form with some feedback about what you heard today. And don't worry, that form will not be sent to the Chinese government. Who will save your soul?
My God, geez, is someone invite Jewel to the bunker? Fuck, is that Jewel?
Who will save your soul?
God, Andy, I think
it really sounds like Jewel.
Holy fuck. Jewel is in the bunker this
Jewel
week.
Jewel is
holy
here.
Fuck, holy shit.
Who will save your soul?
Anyway, Bugfuckers, that's not Jewel. That's me.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
I just assumed that that was Jewel and this was some sort of deep fake.
No, no, no.
In real life.
That was me singing, covering a Jewel song. Jewel brings up a good point, Andy. Who will save your soul? Who?
Well, I think the point of that song is that you got to save your own.
Who will save your soul?
Jewel?
I know.
Are you
It's
here?
Uncanny. But Bugfuckers, have you ever wanted to gain power, status, and wealth? Have you ever wanted to sway the heart or mind of a potential lover or vanquish your enemies? Well, you're in luck. You possess within you a soul, a single, measly soul. So worthless. You aren't even using it. How do I know? You're listening to this podcast.
Oh, fucking got you.
Well, turns out you can sell it. You can sell it, dummy. For all those fancy schmancy things I listed earlier, sure, it might lead to internal damnation, but that's a problem for future you.
Did you say internal or eternal?
Eternal.
Oh, fuck.
But also internal.
Oh, shit.
But hey, we hear you. But what about interest rates on souls? I mean, sell your soul in this economy? Shut up. Fucking shut up. To that we say, if you're listening to this show... That's too much thinking for you.
So don't worry about it. Relax. If you listen to this show, that's it. You're thinking too much. The word interest rate, you shouldn't even know what that means.
You're definitely not familiar with our state's stringent usury laws.
No, 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 no. Let us serve you the whole enchilada. Selling your soul. Let's start with defining what a soul is, don't you think, Andy?
Yeah, great idea.
As we lead this little seminar for the bunkfuckers.
Right. What is a soul?
We got to define, what is a soul? I mean, we want to put this commodity up on the market. We should know what we're selling. So what is a soul? A lot of this topic originates from the Bible. Let's start there. The word soul in the Bible is a translation of the Hebrew word nephesh, I think. N-E-apostrophe-P-H-E-S-H. And the Greek word, psyche. The Hebrew word literally means, quote, a creature that breathes, and the Greek word means a living being. Okay, well, that's not very fucking helpful, okay? Ancient languages, the soul is just, what, it's just us? Come on. We gotta work with some here, don't you think, Andy?
We gotta get down to brass tacks on this.
This hippy-dippy bullshit, I'm trying to make some extra scratch around here selling my dang soul. There's gotta be an angle, right? Further dissection into theological text shows us that souls last forever. Hey, that's good. They don't depreciate in value, Andy.
That's right.
There's still hope. So in Judeo-Christian denominations, only humans can have these immortal souls, although this is contested within Judaism, with some believing that this immortality thing stemmed from a little guy called Plato. Other religions, Hinduism in particular, believe that all living things, from the smallest bacteria to the largest of mammals, have souls. Everything's got a soul. Your dog's got a soul. Your bed bug's got a soul. Your grandma has a soul. You got a soul.
Little boy's soul.
Little boy's soul. And everything has their own physical representation, your body, in the world. The actual self, like the innards, or what makes you you, is your soul, and the body is only the mechanism to experience the karma of life. That's good. There's lots of souls to sell then, right?
Right.
Plenty of souls. I can sell you this soul, his soul here, these souls there.
Hindu is a buyer's market.
It is.
Souls galore.
Now, according to soul creationism, God creates each individual soul directly, either at the moment of conception or later when he fucking gets around to it. When he's done playing Clash of Clans, he'll fucking pick up and create a couple souls. according to Traducianism, the soul comes from the parents by natural generation. According to the pre-existence theory, the soul exists before the moment of conception. So we've got a lot of different methods and places to work with here, Andy. We can kind of navigate this market how we see fit. And figure out how to sell human souls. I think that's what we're interested in.
That's great, because there's souls.
Souls aplenty.
Souls without bodies waiting to be had.
Yeah. We can get into that pre-soul.
Right, we got to get in pre-soul.
Yeah.
Certified pre-soul.
Yeah. It's a certified pre-soul. Soul. But what about secular text? Anything? Can we gain anything there to figure out how to navigate this little market? The earliest reported depictions of a soul come from the Oxford English Dictionary or from the 8th century. In King Alfred's translation of De Consolatione Philosophiae, it is used to refer to the immaterial, spiritual, or thinking aspect of a person, as contrasted with the person's physical body. And then in later texts, it means life or the animate existence. So like animated existence, life, what makes us us? You know what? I'm going to be honest, Andy. This whole philosophical discussion is getting annoying. It's my money and I want it now. Do you think?
Yeah, this is really busting my balls here.
It is. It fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah.
I can't really figure out what a soul is. You know, it's kind of the thing that makes us us.
Yeah.
Our life. It's not our bodies.
Right.
It's our consciousness, or it's our what makes us. It's our animation. You know? But there's a will, there's a way.
It's the special sauce in the Big Macs of our bodies.
It is the special sauce. It's the Thousand Island ranch dressing, whatever the fuck that Big Mac sauce is. I don't know. I've never had a Big Mac. So who gives a fuck what it is? Fuck it. Who cares? Let's figure out how to sell it. There's going to be a buyer. We'll find a buyer. What does the Bible tell us about selling souls?
What does the Bible tell us?
Well, fellow soul stockbrokers, it doesn't look good. The idea of selling your soul to the devil in exchange for badass powers and riches and good-ass times with your bros, but then being enslaved to him in hell for all eternity, it doesn't exist in Jewish doctrine and such as the Torah. They do describe instances where you can become possessed by evil drives. However, these are always reversible, which is not what we're looking for. This is a contract that... it's final. And in the Christian terms, you also cannot sell your soul in a transactional sense. You can separate your soul from yourself. You can't separate your soul from yourself. Christians instead see selling your soul as losing a bit of your soul piece by piece until you are so far removed from your faith that you no longer hear God, which isn't really selling your soul so much as it is losing your faith and turning towards the dark side of the force.
Although if you could subdivide your soul and sell it off piecemeal,
timeshares,
part by piece, yeah. Now we're talking on real revenue generation.
Yeah, but this is really more about faith.
Oh.
And losing.
I only have faith in one thing.
Right.
The all-ity aller.
Is that Pig Latin? The oink-ity oink-oink. Real Pig Latin, not this fake Pig Latin.
Right. Real I speak Pig the Latin. Real Pig Latin.
Yeah.
Oinkus boinkus.
The Bible has no instance of a person selling their soul to Satan, and it never implies that making a bargain with the devil is possible. Satan has a lot of powers, and he comes up a lot in the fucking Bible. He can oppose angels. He'll deceive people by masquerading as an angel. God gives us the means of providing ourselves, like defending against Satan's attacks. Satan's power is limited by God's will. There's a lot of stuff. Satan has dominion over people who don't live in the world of word of Christ, who don't believe in the word of Christ. He's got dominion over you. So it's kind of fucked up. It's like, you know, he's got all these different powers, but we don't really see anything where it's like, hey, can I give you a soul? Where's this concept of soul selling come from? You know, the devil
y'all
does.
Got any of them souls?
You got any of them souls? The devil does make a bunch of appearances in the New Testament as a BBEG to Jesus's D&D campaign of miracles and quests and cool shit. And during these battles and shit, the devil does take control of people. So this happens such as in Acts 16:16-19, where Paul and his fellowship of faith are traveling and they meet a slave girl who is possessed by a spirit, which grants her the powers of divination. So she makes hella cash for her masters doing clairvoyant shit and telling the future and whatnot. Paul and his crew are like, whatever, fucking make your bag. That's cool. But then she starts antagonizing them and following them around saying stuff like, yo, these fucking dorks are Christians. What's up with that, dude? Like for fucking days until
been
Paul
there, done that.
Paul gets so annoyed. He shouts, I command the spirit in Jesus' name to get out of your bod. And it worked. The spirit left her. But then her masters were like, dude, you fucked up our sick business model. What the fuck? So they had Paul and his bro, Silas, his homie, imprisoned.
Fuck.
So we have a person here who is possessed and gaining dope powers. But again, the situation was reversible. Not looking for that. It's not a transaction. Then there's the sorcerer, Elymas, in Acts 13:8. Paul encounters Elymas, who is a sorcerer with some dope powers and cantrips at his disposal. Elymas attempts to block Paul, cock block him, from spreading his good word of God's and his dope holy quest, right? So Paul is on this dope holy quest. You're familiar with Paul.
Yeah.
Formerly Saul.
Right.
Then got turned into Paul.
Better call Paul.
Better call. Wow. Paul casted a fifth level concentration spell called Filled with the Holy Spirit and looked at Elymas right in the face and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" Dope, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking so dope.
That's a fucking powerful spell.
I know. Then Paul, who at this point was an eighth level paladin, casted a wicked smite of blindness. He casted smite of blindness on Elymas. Shit. Yeah, dude. And roll the nat 20. Darkness and mist then enveloped Elymas, and he went blind.
Shit.
It's fucking dope. So again,
I need Paul in my party.
I know. I need Paul in my party, too. There's no way to truly sell your soul for dope powers. And if I'm being honest, the powers of the lawful good God is kind of dope, too. Like, I want to cast some fucking smites. Maybe what we should be asking is not how did I sell my soul to the devil for dope powers, but how can I get me some of these paladin smites that Paul was slinging?
No kidding. All I got are paladin mites.
Yeah. You big old bugs. In fact, some of the New Testament, such as 1 John 5:19 and others, indicate that we are all living in sin under the devil's control already. Our souls are already bound to this guy. Going with God is the only way out. The devil is playing both sides of the market, Andy.
This is why he's the master.
This fucking devil guy. He's tricking us. He's playing both sides of the market. I mean, what the fuck?
He's a good businessman.
Fuck this, dude. I'm getting pissed. Fuck this. Call me Nick Simon. Fuck this. Fuck. Oh, no. Fuck this. Oh, no. That's only for me and you.
Yeah.
No one else gets that.
Oh, no.
It's one of my favorite texts to see. Well, what about secular texts, Andy? What do they teach us about selling souls? Faust. You ever heard of Faust?
Yeah.
Faust. Faust! It's a fun name to say.
Randy Newman did a version of Faust.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Don't bring that name up. Don't conjure that devil. Andy.
I'm not trying to bring him into existence. I'm just bringing it up.
The story of Faust is a well-known Germanic legend based on Johann Georg Faust, loosely. It's like early historical fiction, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
The real Faust was like an alchemist and an astronomer and like an all-around cool dude. Because the legend of Faust is so popular and had so many retellings throughout history, it's kind of tough to discern what was real and what wasn't real about Faust. But I'll give you a synopsis.
Okay.
Faust was unsatisfied with his life as a scholar, and he becomes depressed. Join the club. After an attempt to take his own life, he calls on the devil for further knowledge and magic powers with which to indulge all the pleasures and knowledge of the world. In response, the devil's representative, Mephistopheles, appears. It's like the devil's fucking, like, his, like, manager. Like one of his little lackeys, Mephistopheles.
Right.
He makes a bargain with Faust. Mephistopheles will serve Faust with his magic powers for a set number of years, but at the end of the term, the devil will claim Faust's soul, and Faust will be internally enslaved in hell. During the term of the bargain, Faust makes use of Mephistopheles in various ways. In Goethe's, spelt the stupid German way, which should be pronounced Goethe's, but it's pronounced Goethe, right?
Right.
Goethe. G-O-E, Goethe, drama, and many subsequent versions of the story, Mephistopheles helps Faust seduce a beautiful and innocent girl, usually named Gretchen. Ooh, Gretchen.
Oh, Gretchen, you lusty maid.
Oh, yes, Gretchen. Ooh. Gretchen's life is destroyed by Faust because she gives birth to Faust's bastard son. And then when people realize this unholy act, she drowns the child and is held in court for murder. However, Gretchen's innocence saves her in the end, and she enters heaven after execution. Aww. Aww. In Goethe's rendition, Faust is actually saved by God via his constant striving in combination with beautiful Gretchen's pleadings with God. Gretchen's like, yo, he's actually a good dude. You got to save him. I'm so fucking, you know, chaste, and I'm innocent, and I'm good, and I'm beautiful. My name is Gretchen.
Yeah. Sexy little Gretchen.
However, in earlier tales, Faust is just irrevocably corrupted and believes his sins cannot be forgiven. And when the term ends, the devil just carries him to hell.
Oh, shit.
He just goes to hell.
Oh, fuck.
So no happy ending there.
Damn.
The Faustian legend is pivotal to this topic, and deals with the devil or selling one's soul are often called Faustian bargains.
Right.
You heard this before?
Yeah.
But Faust is hardly the only tale involving selling one's soul to the devil. There's the alleged story of Pope Sylvester II, who used the powers of devilish sorcery to gain the papal seat and, I'm assuming, catch Tweety Bird. And in one instance, gained it by playing dice with the devil.
Oh, shit.
Which I love.
Oh, wow.
That's a fun story.
Nice. Dicing with the devil.
The fucking devil and the Pope and out back fucking shooting dice. Like, that's fucking great.
Damn, that's awesome.
Dope. There's the Icelandic priest and scholar, Sæmundur Sigfússon.
Oh, there's a good one.
It's a great fucking name. He was credited in Icelandic folklore with having made pacts with the devil and managing by various tricks to get the better of the deal. For example, in one famous story, Sæmundur made a pact with the devil, and that devil should bring him home to Iceland from Europe on the back of a seal. Sæmundur escaped a diabolical end when, on arrival, he hit the seal on the head with the Bible, killing it, and stepping safely ashore, which was very based and very Viking-pilled.
Right.
You know, I guess the story there is that because the devil didn't hold up his end of the bargain by delivering him ashore with a seal, like, you know, like the seal had to get him there, he killed the seal before he could. I guess that's how he tricked the devil.
Right.
I don't know. Honestly.
He got out of the deal because the seal didn't deliver him.
Yeah, kind of. I'm going to be honest, though, is based in Viking pilled as it is, it kind of sounds like Sæmundur is kind of telling one of those stories where it's like, yeah, that happened. You got the better of the devil by doing that.
Yeah. Right.
Sure. But
I mean, pretty cool to kill a seal with a Bible, though.
Yeah. Seal clubbing is awesome.
Right. And if you kill him with a holy book, even better.
Yeah.
I would love to watch some YouTube videos where people are killing seals with books from various religions.
But we've all heard this, right? Stories of bargains with the devil are often told with that comedic twist of tricking the devil at his own game to come out victorious in the end. There's the Code Gigas. You ever seen the Code Gigas?
No.
Which some believe the monk who wrote it made a deal with the devil in order to help him finish the work. It's a big book of like tons of knowledge. And that is why there's a huge full portrait nude. Just full portrait, regular picture of the devil in it. There's Urbain Grandier, who was a 17th century French priest who was tried and burned at the stake for witchcraft. One of the documents presented at his trial was an alleged diabolical pact he supposedly signed, which also bears what are supposed to be the seals of several demons, including that of Satan himself. You can look it up for yourself, and it honestly, to me, looks like a teenager's yearbook with all the goofy signatures and symbols. Obviously, we would be remiss if we didn't mention one of the more famous modern-day examples, that of Robert Johnson, blues legend, who allegedly sold his soul to the devil in exchange for dope guitar playing abilities. We've all heard that one before.
Right.
Very famous story. And of course, we would be remiss if we didn't mention the badass guitar hero Renaissance classic Charlie Daniels Band song, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, in which the devil competes with a man in a fiddle contest to gain the man's soul. You've heard that song before, right, Andy?
Yeah.
Like that one?
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind. He was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. He came across this young boy sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot.
How do you know the lyrics to that?
The devil sat down on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what."
Jesus Christ. Fucking Charlie Daniels himself is here. Jeez Louise. Andy, clearly we fucked up. We're looking at the wrong place to sell our souls.
Yeah.
You can't find it in the primary source like the Bible. I'm realizing now, this isn't like a public market kind of deal. This is some backdoor, under the table, you know, you scratch my back, I tug your sack kind of deal.
Right.
There's plenty of historical examples to show it. We've been looking in the wrong places.
Right. This is more of a sack tugging thing.
This is a sack tugging thing. So, you know what? Let's learn how to sell one's soul. We're going to teach you. The nice thing about selling your soul
is you don't need anything special. Anyone can do it, even you. Yes, you, your bunk funkers with your stylish fedoras and your Cheeto-crusted fingers, even you can sell your soul. Step one, find a buyer. First, you got to figure out what you want in exchange for your soul. Is it power? Money? A big titty goth GF?
Oh, yeah.
You got to find the right demon who will specialize in those things, dummy. There's a lot of demons to choose from. You got Agares, who can help you find better yourself through knowledge. You got Andras, who can help you if you're looking for revenge. Andromalius, who can help you retrieve stolen possessions. Asmodeus, who's associated with carnal desire and lust. Ooh.
Ooh, baby.
Astaroth, who will answer your questions. Bilal, who will help you with your career or in gaining power and status. Bune, who can get you anything you ask, but he has a higher price. He can get you anything, but he has a higher price.
Oh, this is a premium demon.
He's a premium demon. He's an enterprise-level demon.
Yeah.
Hagenti, who can turn any metal into gold and water into wine.
Okay.
Two of our favorite things.
Finally, I can get an entire horse made out of gold. I already have one made out of tin.
Yeah. There's Paimon, who can teach you how to make people your slaves.
Which,
you know what? If you're selling your soul, you're already pretty...
I guess.
You
know,
morality's out the window.
Yeah.
Renove, who can help you master the art and specific talents. Salos can bring you love. And Zapar can make women fall in love with men.
Ooh,
so there are literally hundreds of
my chance to finally play matchmaker.
Right, exactly.
And make Gwyneth Paltrow fall in love.
Oh, Gwyneth. It's almost as sexy as Gretchen.
With art.
There's hundreds of demons that appear in religion, demonology, mythology, and folklore. So you need to find... carefully research which demon you want to contact. A good place to start is the Encyclopedia of Demons and Demonology by Rosemary Ellen Gulley. This book consists of a comprehensive list of hundreds of demons from ancient history to the present. Step two, set the terms of your contract. As with any business contract, it's important to set the parameters so that both parties feel comfortable and happy with the terms. I mean, you're giving away your dang soul. You only have one. You got to make sure you know exactly what you're getting. Right, Andy?
Yeah.
Likewise, the demon you utilize in this transaction will want a little something on the side as well. The demon may require that in addition to your soul, you also recruit more souls for further benefits. Demons also have, you know, tiers and different ranks of their power subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you give a soul and you give X number of souls over a month-to-month basis based on a yearly soul subscription fee that you agree to up front. And then, you know, in some cases, you know, the demon will want to see your commitment. And that can vary. Some may be fine with a simple soul exchange, but others may expect you to drown a child to death or consecrate them to the devil as contract terms. These are pretty standard boilerplate. You know, you got to drown a couple children.
Right. I mean, that's the famous saying.
Yeah.
Is like, if you want to sell a soul, you got to be prepared to drown a couple children.
You got
to
be prepared. And be clear with what you want. Not being prepared and doing your due diligence with your chosen demon can kind of piss them off. They don't like having their time wasted. Also note, according to demonology, there is a specific month or day of the week, an hour to call each demon. So the invocation for a pact has to be done at the right time.
Oh.
Now, there's a lot of research to do. This, you
right.
can just go into this. This isn't a grocery store.
Right.
You know?
This is not mutual funds. You
no.
can't just drop your money in any old thing.
No. You got to do your due diligence.
Right.
After the contract terms are set, be sure to read everything over carefully before signing. Devils and demons alike are known for their trickery, using loopholes and logic to twist words to ensure that you get shafted hard in the ass in the deal. Step three, contact methods. So you're ready to contact your chosen demon for soul exchange. Good for you. There's lots of what's and what ifs to you know, and methods and, you know, ways to contact a demon. It's important to understand how your chosen method works. It could be as easy as eliminating distractions by sitting alone in a darkened room and asking the demon to come forward. Regardless, it's important to decide between two main factors. Are you going to do a written pact or an oral seance?
Yeah. I say always get it in writing. Get them on the record.
That's a good, that's more of an old school method, but I think it, you know, lends itself to protecting yourself a little bit better.
Yeah.
With oral conjurations, in some instances, there can be no trace of the contract. But in some instances, demons have been known to leave evidence in the form of a witch's mark, an indelible mark, which where the marked person had been touched by the devil to seal the pact. The mark could be, you know, used as proof to determine the pact was made. It's also believed that on the spot where the mark was left, the marked person could feel no pain, like a cute little naughty hickey. Wink.
Imagine.
Written pacts typically will be signed with the conjurer's blood. So if you're not a fan of needles or finger pricks, be warned. Some, though, may settle for red ink or animal blood. Really kind of depends on how strict your chosen demon is with their methods.
Right.
They're an old school demon.
Old school demon.
They're going to want blood.
Right. But human the new blood. School demons would new be okay demons, with you using a red pen.
They're a little bit more casual. They're not going to show up in a suit. Be a little more of a visual, business casual. They might have tattoos, you know. They're newer, younger demons, you know, Gen X demons, typically.
Right. These are definitely like, you got your millennial demons.
You got boomer demons. Like, you know, you get with a boomer demon. Now, a boomer demon has seen a lot of deals in their lifetime, so you kind of know what you're going to get with them.
Right.
They're going to want to go by the book.
Right. That one's going to be in blood.
Yeah. Step four, sealing the deal. Let's seal this fucking deal, Andy.
Let's do a deal.
For written invocations, follow the steps we described earlier. Clearly think out what you want in exchange for what and what's in scope and not in scope for the contract.
Right.
Are you cool with drowning a child? Will you sacrifice goats? How many goats? What's your goat threshold? Etc. and so forth.
Right.
You need to know these things. Don't walk into a contract with a demon not prepared.
And don't leave these things unsaid in the contract.
Yep.
Boinkers.
Write it out.
Because you're going to get asked to do this unexpectedly, and you have nothing in there protecting yourself.
Make sure there's a liability clause. Make sure that there's a publicity clause. Make sure that there's indemnification in it.
Right.
If things get disputed, are you going to dispute them in hell? Is there a force majeure? Are you waiving these rights? Where are you going to fucking settle things in a court? Of
you
the devil's
go to
court?
Angel arbitration?
Right. You got to figure these things out, bunk funkers. Come on. Then you write everything out. You still have to conjure your demon, but once you do, you present the contract to them, sign it, you store the contract in a safe place in your house. For oral pacts, you can typically, you need to conduct a seance. It's best to hold your seance in low light or candlelight. Demons love, oh my God. They love when you set the mood.
Oh, it's so sexy and intimate.
Burn some incense, you comfortable chairs and dark Halloween style decorations. Shower that day. You won't be expected to wear a suit or even business casual, but I would probably not wear pajamas. Be in comfortable clothing. You might get blood on you. You might have to drown a child. You know, you might sacrifice a goat. Like, let's be real.
Wear your everyday clothes for this stuff.
Be you.
Be authentic. Be you.
But turn off any distractions like the TV or, if you're old, the radio, and put your phone on silent. And if you're someone who doesn't leave their phone on silent in the year 2022, fuck, I hope you're selling your soul for some fucking common sense.
Sheesh.
Seriously, who the fuck doesn't have their phone on silent? Seriously.
Sheesh.
You can begin with some verses from the Satanic Bible or fun phrases like, in the name of Satan, open the gates of hell, greet me, come forward, show us you're here. I invite the forces of darkness to bestow their eternal power upon me. I invoke Lucifer from the east. I invoke the Beelzebub from the north. Come forward, forces of darkness, and greet me. You know, there's lots of fun little sayings you can do and different ways to just shake things up and make it kind of unique, but also, like, you know, what the demon is expecting. You know, they're like, they did all these cardinal directions and invoked all these different famous demons. Ooh, I feel special.
You don't want to come into this and, look foolish in front of the demon.
No, look like you know what you're doing.
Even when it's only your first time. You want to look like you're a pro. Because if you look like you're an amateur, they're going to take advantage of you every time.
Oh, they're going to bend you over the coals. And you're already going to have that
and
for
not
all of
because
eternity.
You asked for it.
Right. Once the demon has made its presence known, get down to business. Tell the demon exactly why you summoned it and what you're requesting and what you're willing to do in exchange. And be thorough and succinct. This is when you would present the contract. But if you're doing an oral contract, you got to be...
Get on your knees.
Then you have to immediately tell them, no, Andy, no, there's no playing around. You got to be like, this is why I brought you here. This is what I want. This is what I'm willing to do. Immediately.
I know what I'm willing to do.
Like, fucking call me Disney's Mulan, because let's get down to business. Seriously. It's business. They're all business. Be thorough. Be succinct. Then immediately ask the demon if they agree to the deal and seal it. Then you're done. No fucking, Andy, this is for you. No idle chit-chat, Andy. No talking about the demon weather in hell.
What's hell like this time of year?
No, Andy, no. No talking about the demon's kids and what they're fucking doing and, oh, cooked any interesting demon meals, torture any good people lately. No, 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 no. You're done. You immediately, this is what I want. This is what I'm willing to do. This is why I brought you here. Do we have a deal? The demon says deal or no deal. Immediately. You're very much Howie Mandel in this situation. Deal or no deal? And then the demon says yes or no. And then boom. Okay, demon's done. Bye-bye.
I'll open the suitcase.
Step 5. Following up. You should attempt to follow up with your chosen demon when you can. Demons can be very subtle and they like to play coy. They only give clues when they're present. They might use an Ouija board. They might knock over objects in your house. They might tap on surfaces and scratch things. They might make strange noises. Demons expel a lot of energy to do these little checkups, so be kind. Thank the demon for making its presence known to you and checking in on you. If at any time your demon seems malevolent and distrustful or like they're toying with you, post-seance, well, you don't exactly have demon HR team to report them to, but you can let the demon know that their presence is no longer needed and that they should go away. Be straightforward with your demon and don't fall under pressure because the demons will respond to that. Be confident. The demons respond well to confidence.
Right.
You say, demon, we had our deal. I don't need you to check up on me. I am drowning those children. I am sacrificing those goats. Leave me alone. I'm using my dope powers. I'm having sex with hundreds of babes online every day. All the things I wish for. I have laser vision. I can fly. I'm super wealthy. And I'm having sex with lots of babes. Leave me alone. I'm sacrificing goats. Can you not see their carcasses? I don't need you checking in on me. I'm not a child. The demon's going to respond to that.
Right.
Now remember, you do have to hold up your end of the bargain, or else that demon is going to not be happy with your contract. They're going to fucking check in on you if you're not keeping up on your end of the deal.
As well they should.
This is all these demons are doing day in and day out. They're pros at this. So don't fuck around. Don't think you can pull a fast one, especially on your first merry-go-round. You're not that clever.
Right.
Trust me.
You gotta learn about these demons before you try to pull one over on them.
You do. Now, let's talk about some consequences of selling your soul.
Okay.
As mentioned before, payment is instantaneous, so as long as you are willing to hand over your eternal being for a lifetime of damnation, you know, please make sure that you got what you want before making that final transaction, because there's no backing out of it. However, should you find that you sold your soul for what you sold your soul for wasn't while it was cracked up to be, say, a donut, and you find yourself on trial with the devil presiding over a handpicked jury of Benedict Arnold, Lizzie Borden, Richard Nixon, John Wilkes Booth, Blackbeard the Pirate, John Herbert Dillinger, and the starting lineup of the 1976 Philadelphia Flyers, it can be a good idea to have a backup in the form of a prior contract in which you sold your soul to a loved one, nullifying the contract you made with the demon or devil.
Right.
Just an example.
That's just simple contract stuff. Everybody should know that.
Skeptics. So obviously, this tongue-in-cheek topic is fun. We've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had fun. I learned a lot.
But most skeptics will be quick to say, well, souls don't exist, and religious texts are historical documents with no discerning proof of their existence. Right?
Okay.
But what does egghead science have to say? Do we have souls, Andy?
So to say, what exactly guides conscious thought and our thought of the self? It's clear we have higher cognitive function than most other creatures on our planet, but does cognitive thought alone equate to a soul? Is the act of thinking the act of living? Do I think, therefore I am? We've all heard this. And what of the lowly ginger? Do they have souls?
No.
South Park taught us that.
Right.
Scientific thought is mainly rooted in the belief that we are made up of atoms and molecules conforming and combusting together in a symphony of activity, creating life as we perceive it. And when the activity ceases, so do we. And so does any concept of self and our conscious thought. We are electrical synapses firing until we aren't. But science doesn't have an answer for everything, right? We've seen that in past topics. Take, for example, our friend, the double slit experiment, showcasing the weird world of the quantum realm. Beefers, if you don't recall or are new to the show, the double slit experiment was a measurement of particles shot from a beam of light to a sort of light-catching screen through a double slit. When the light was measured, meaning observed by the scientist, it behaved like a particle, like a bullet, and it only passed through one slit or the other. Screen. But when the particles were not observed and simply left to their own devices, they behaved like a wave, spattering across the screen regardless of the slit and going through both at the same time. Leading us to question, do particles only function as physics dictates when being observed, or do they only truly exist when our minds set forth the means for them to do so? One point seems certain. The nature of the universe can't be divorced from the nature of life itself. If you separate them from each other, reality ceases to exist. Without consciousness, space and time are nothing, right? They are, as Kant pointed out over 200 years ago, everything we experience, including all colors, sensations, and objects we perceive, are nothing but representations in our mind. Space and time are simply the mind's tools for putting it all together. If all of this is simply just atoms and molecules, then we couldn't discern the body experience from one person onto another. So perhaps the soul is the sum of its parts, experience, time, and physical body into one. Perhaps souls cannot function on their own. Food for thought.
Yeah.
I think we'll get into it in the discussion. Well, bunkfuckers, there's plenty you could sell your soul for, but luckily Andy and I are here to offer you the deal of a lifetime.
Oh, baby, are we ever.
For just the price of your lousy soul, we can offer you a lifetime of the whole enchilada. Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, welcome back, Bugbuggers. That was our discussion of can you sell your soul?
Oh, who will sell your soul if you won't save your own? La da la da 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 da
da. Lot to unpack with this one, Andy. What do you think?
What a topic, huh?
What a topic.
I'll be honest. When I first heard selling your soul, I was like, there's not going to be much here. There's a lot of, like, I hadn't thought about Faust and
Faust.
Like all of the historical context and religious context to the act of selling your soul.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. You know me. Not really like a soul guy.
No, of course you're not.
Soul music, sure.
I got that soul music. You choose it. You can use it. Man, I'm gonna dance with me. I like that kind of soul music.
That's Chuck Berry, rock and roll music.
Oh, is that what this?
Yeah.
I got a soul, but I'm not a soldier. That's the Killers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the discussion on do we have souls? God, there's so much to unpack there. I don't know. I think
they've tried scientifically to figure out the soul before.
Mm-hmm.
Simple things like weighing bodies that have expired. You know, you weigh them before the person dies and weigh them after to see if there's anything leaving the body. Like,
but isn't a soul just like our concept of self?
Yeah, I think so. I think the soul is you hinted at it. It's this intangible background of who we are.
Time, experiences, space, perception, all of it combined, housed within a physical thing of atoms and molecules.
And I think you can make a good argument for that, because I don't think that anybody ever, almost ever, says that the soul is immutable, in that children have the same souls as themselves as adults. Like, that your soul now is the same soul as when you were a child. So the soul captures your growth as a person. So it's not even a manifestation, but it's like this representation of your consciousness and your own view on you, your ego.
Wow.
Like it's sort of the spiritual way to say, like, all of the things that give you consciousness, like your record of you, how you perceive you and your consciousness, that's your soul.
But you don't believe that that thing can do anything after you perish.
Right. I think that doesn't, I think that your perception of self, everything that you believe about you, is all just existence in your mind. It's how the brain helps make sense of this world. Cause if you stepped away from yourself, right, and you just think outside of you,
right,
none of it makes sense really. When you think about it, like that, you can look, we can look around and we can see like other animals, and no other animals act like human beings. Like we're, as far as we know, we're completely unique and totally alone in the whole universe. Hundreds of thousands of light years of distance. And as far as we know, there's no other creatures that have consciousness like we do.
Wow.
And ability to rationalize. So if you step out from yourself and you start to try to make sense of it, it's sort of unsensical. It's almost impossible to make sense of it. So I think that the soul is like a way of people saying, like, well, this is a thing that makes sense then, is that I'm imperishable. Like, I will exist on, like, I think it's hard to stomach for a lot of people that, you know, you're born, you get consciousness because of the way that your brain works, and then you die and that's it. And then nothing else happens. Plus, I don't think that people like to think that the short span of their life is all that they can accomplish, you know?
Yikes.
People like living.
Yeah. Well, it's the only thing we understand and experience. We don't understand any other experience.
Right. It's not very comforting for people to say, like, oh, you're dead and that's it. And, like, everything that you did in life is just over and your body rots away. And eventually you don't exist anymore. And nothing about you will ever exist ever again. I don't think people are particularly comforted by that.
Yeah, that's not the... That's not the kind of Andy Hart bedtime stories that they want to hear.
I am comforted by it, though.
Why? In what way?
There's a lot of pressure if you think about eternity. Isn't there? Like, it's much easier to put your life in a box and say,
oh my God,
I only have until I die and I got to enjoy my life.
Well, I tried my best.
It's like you have to think like, I think I get a lot of comfort from thinking about like, oh, well, you know, I feel like a lot of people defer their happiness and they say like, well, I'm not living for this life anyway. I'm living for the next life. And it's like, no, you got to live for it now. Mm-hmm. Like you got to enjoy stuff while you can, because there's not going to be, you know, eventually you'll be gone and that'll be it. You missed your chance if you didn't do what you wanted to do. Not that you'll have any regrets, because you'll no longer have consciousness. You'll no longer be aware of yourself.
I mean, that you know of.
Right. I mean, I could be totally wrong.
You could be.
I could be wrong about everything.
Some ways I hope you are.
Yeah.
Just so that when you get to the afterlife, you have to deal with that shame and guilt. You're right. Like, well, fuck.
And I'll see you
I
there.
Made myself look like such a jackass on my podcast.
And 40,
for saying that and that alone.
And 40 years later, when you die, you'll show up and you'll be like, hey, asshole, told you so.
You think we'll be friends together in the afterlife? Or will you? You'll have made such a new posse of people.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'll have a long time to develop new friends.
But will you?
No, probably not. I probably will end up in hell, honestly.
You belong there.
Yeah.
You like it hot.
I'm not a good enough person. The it's kind of interesting too. When I was growing up and in church, you know, they used to talk about like what's heaven like, and it was like, well, you know, because people, I think a lot of times, what appeals to people about a place like heaven is it's like, oh, you're reunited with all your loved ones and everything is great again. And like all of our souls are together and we can just live together and party. And you see everybody that you ever loved and knew, and
right.
Everything is like rainbows and sunshine. Well, you know, my childhood, pastor used to say that that's not what heaven is. Heaven is all about praising God. And so like your soul doesn't look like your body. So you won't even be able to recognize people when you get there. And you know, you just, it's about being with God and praising God. And so it's not like party time in heaven.
What does that even mean? I always thought of like praising God as like singing hymns and shit. So you just like singing hymns like the rest of your fucking life.
Yeah, they make it seem like, you know, it's like, oh, all the souls line up and everybody, like, because there's no concept of time and it's really irrelevant time. Like there's no passage of day or night to mark the days. It's just like time is not a factor in eternity. So the only thing that happens is like souls are just gathered and they do praise unto God all, you know,
that's
for all eternity.
A weird fucking like shitty depiction of God. Don't you think that it's like, yeah, he gave us all life, and then because of that, we're going to spend the rest of eternity having to fucking worship him.
You owe him.
You owe him for this thing you didn't ask for.
But it's sort of like, oh, but this is the most fulfilling thing you'll ever feel.
Yeah.
Like you've reached paradise. Like, this is paradise. Like,
this is where you belong.
This ultimate fulfillment. Because it's like the greatest thing in the universe.
Then why did he put
in
us-
all of existence, in all of creation, in all throughout the timeless span of outside of the universe, everything that you could even imagine, the greatest thing that there could be is closeness with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate thing. And that feels so much better than anything else. And it's beyond, you wouldn't even want for anything else because you have that closeness with God. And then it's like, hell is just separation from God. You can never reach God. You know God exists. You know how good God can be. You can never reach God. Wow. That's the torment.
Wow.
It's not physical suffering like chains and whips and nipple clamps, man, and people hooking car batteries up to your nutsack.
Fuck.
Which is super sexy and cool, but that's not hell. Hell is total separation from God.
Right.
I think of the way that I heard hell described as a child. It's not like fire and brimstone, even though, you know, it's like, that's how people probably would have described my childhood preacher. It's like a brim, like an old fashioned kind of like fire and brimstone.
Well, I thought you said your bedroom.
Where it's like, yeah, my bedroom for sure. The floor is lava, literally. But it's because it was more like, you know, you got to be good or you're going to get punished for it.
Right.
Like, it's about, you know, it's more about like, instead of here's all the things you can do that are good, it's like, here's damnation on the other side.
So you better be good.
Right. And so it was like, hell was like, not fire. It wasn't torture. It wasn't like, here's all of history's bad people you're going to meet. Ooh, you're going to have to talk to Hitler.
Yeah.
It was like, you'll be completely separated from God. Your soul will never feel the light of God ever again.
Dude, that's like...
it feels very much like... I think about...
It's like super ethereal.
Yeah, like reading like... like the Odyssey, mm-hmm. where Odysseus goes to the underworld. Like, that's what I felt like hell... Sort of my, you know, like my childhood pastor described it as, where it's just like this, it's almost like this cave under the earth. And like, it's just complete separation from everything. Like total loneliness.
You're just not allowed to participate. You're just
right.
Alone.
Right.
Wow. Well, that's fucking depressing. Anyway.
So selling your soul.
No, I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting discussion on what is a soul and what isn't a soul and what does it mean. But I think the real thing that the bunkfunkers want to know is, Andy, what the fuck are you selling your soul for?
I know. This is what I want to know, too, about you. But if I was going to sell my soul, it's like, oh, man. Okay, if you sell your soul, it's got to be something good.
It's got to be. But you got to create a not a monkey's paw situation. So I'm going to try and find
right.
a monkey paw situation with you.
You're gonna try to get me tricked here.
Maybe.
Because that's, I agree with you. Like, you want to avoid the monkey paw. Because that's the number one pitfall, is that you actually ask for something that fucks you over. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, if I was gonna...
This yogurt has phosphates in it. What is it?
Sodium benzoate.
Oh. That's bad.
Can I go now? The Frogurt is cursed. Turkey's a little dry. what would I ask for in a bargain with the devil to sell my soul? Like, it would be nothing material.
Yeah.
Maybe what I would say is, like, I want to sell my soul for immortality.
Whoa.
So oh, wait,
how
wait,
does
wait,
the
wait,
devil
wait.
Ever get a hold of your soul?
He gets my soul, but I'm immortal. My physical body lives on forever.
Mm.
I want a like what was that book where the guy like
Tuck Everlasting?
No, it's on the tip of my brain, but I can't make it come out of my mouth. Dorian Gray.
Oh, right.
Where I'm like
with the paintings.
Where I'm like eternal, I'm immortal. And never age.
That's a pretty good one.
And also, I'm a shapeshifter, and I can fly, and I have laser eyes.
You're going to be sacrificing a lot of goats.
Yeah.
You're just tacking them on, dude.
But I think if I was to pick something, it would be like ageless immortality. Like where I don't age. Because that would be the monkey's paw for that one. Is that you age normally. And so like you're 1,000 years old and you're like 1,000 year old person. Like your health is horrible. You're bedridden. You can't move.
Well, I was going to say, you need to set the terms of when you become immortal.
Right?
You don't want to be fucking 65 and then it's like, well, now you're immortal.
Right. That would be part of the terms.
So you'd have to set the terms of like, well, I want to be 25 years old as I was when I was 25 or as I was when I was 23.
Yeah. So that would be what I would ask for. Because that gets away, that gets, like, what's the benefit of the soul, really? It's the eternal life thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get around it by saying, I'm immortal. And then you really put it to the test, right? Like, if I'm immortal, and that was granted by a demon, even when the fucking earth is destroyed, what's going to happen to me? I'm still immortal. Even if the whole universe gets destroyed, I can't be destroyed.
You're just floating through space.
Yeah. I can't die, though.
There's a lot of things with not dying, though. Like, what if somebody, I mean, you added all this shit, like laser eyes and flight, and you're a shapeshifter, but what if somebody found out you were immortal and then that you can't die, and so they just chained you to the bottom of the ocean?
Damn. That would be so fucked up.
You can't die, but you drown every fucking day of your life. You drown.
Oh, like, yeah, I keep drowning and then waking up
you're
there
just
and
forever drowning.
Wow.
But you can't die.
Damn.
And you're immortal.
Damn.
I stole that from that shitty comic book and Netflix movie.
Wow. That's
about
a
people
good,
who are immortal.
That's a good monkey's paw.
It is.
Fuck.
Spoiler for that shitty movie that I don't even remember the fucking, I think it's The Last Guard or something.
Well, I've made a horrible mistake.
The Old Guard?
What's yours? What are you going to ask for?
Man, immortality is a good one, dude. You see tons of shit. Time travel powers could be cool.
Yeah, time travel would be
cool. I
mean,
I could go with something simple, just like money. Just like live out the rest of your life, just like super fucking wealthy. But you really got to be careful with that. I don't want to be one of the top.
But it's also like, did you get a good deal for your soul, though? Like, oh, I was super wealthy.
Kind of get it all out of your system.
Because the monkey's paw in that is like, oh, you're super wealthy, but hey, you die 2 weeks later.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, thanks for the soul.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of things there, right? Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I want $18 trillion. Like, okay, you got it. And then it's like, oh, somebody shoots you the next day and you die.
Yeah, or it's like if I spend any of it, I forfeit. I can only gain money. Like that would be another monkey's paw, right? It's like,
right.
I can never spend the money. I can only gain money.
Right.
And if I spend it, I lose my soul. The Homer's thing.
All of your wealth is tied up in super complicated derivative assets, and you can't actually cash out of any of these investments for like hundreds of years.
Right. So you're just poor.
Yeah.
But you're wealthy.
Yeah. Your balance sheet is massive, but you have no cash.
No liquid cash.
Right. That would be the monkey's paw there. I mean, when you, like, to
time
me, it's like,
powers would be cool.
To me, it's like when you, yeah, time travel would be wild. Like, imagine
you'd
if
have
I
to be really careful because the devil would be like, okay, you travel back in time and kill yourself because you don't exist.
Right.
Therefore, soul is mine.
Right.
So you'd really have to play with the logic.
What if you combine time travel with immortality?
Yeah.
Like an immortal time traveler, like, I don't know, Highlander.
Right.
Like because you could go back and like, there wouldn't be anything you could do. Like, even if you went back before you were born, like you're already immortal.
Mm-hmm.
And like you could fuck as much as you want with history and not have to worry about any of the consequences.
But then you cease to exist.
You know what?
And nobody knows who you are. And you're just like if history and all of time and history and space was a movie reel. You're like outside of it on the separate side and you just get to watch the movie at different points and no one knows who you are. No one remembers you. You don't have any family. You don't have any friends. You can't really like form any lasting bond. You're like a ghost.
Right.
Then there's the devil coming in and he's playing all these tricks, man. You really got to sit down and figure this shit out. It's not easy.
Yeah. If it was time travel, you'd really have to set the terms because I could see the monkey's paw being you can only go one way or the other.
Right.
Like you go back in time. Oh, but you can't go forward.
You never said anything about going forward.
Right.
Sometime.
And so it's like, oh, you're stuck. Or like you go forward and it's like, oh, the world ended. And it's like, you just are in oblivion. Like, and you just end.
You'd really have to set the terms of this contract.
You gotta set the terms.
I mean, there's so many ways to poke holes in a lot of these different things.
Which demon would you go for?
Well, I'd find the one that knows about magical powers. Probably that Brunei. I mean, fuck it. Might as well go with the, A-list fucking celebrity tier demon.
Yeah. What would you be willing to do to get time travel?
I feel like time travel's worth a soul. I don't know.
Yeah, but what
You're
about
gonna
the other
You're
going
to get bored stuff? Of it eventually.
What would you sacrifice?
My soul.
Yeah, but what about drowning children? Would you do that?
I don't know if I would drown children.
Would you slaughter goats?
I don't know if I could even slaughter a goat.
Chickens? Where's the line for you?
How about I'll kill some mosquitoes?
You think your soul's so valuable.
My soul's very valuable.
I don't know about that.
You don't think my soul is valuable?
I don't know. Look, I'm no soul appraisal expert.
You got to call in a guy.
I got to call in my buddy.
Well, listen, I could give you 50 cents, so that's the best I could do.
Best I could do is,
I could give you travel backwards in time. That's the best I could do.
Best I could do is 50 cents, but let me call up my buddy. He works over at Las Vegas Gold and Silver of Soul. I guess the real question for me, for you, you're like more religious than me.
Am I?
Would you, if somebody like said legitimately, like, I'll help you conjure a demon.
No.
Would you even think about it?
No, I'm not going to conjure demons. Not even going to play with it. Not even going to take that chance.
Mm-hmm. I figured.
Which is weird. And I get how that's hip hop. hypocritical and fucking weird of me, but I don't know. Can't shake it. Sorry. It's my life, not yours. I'll play games that involve demons. Fuck it. I streamed Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah.
And that's like a cutesy satanic little game right there. But it's like, well, one, I'm too lazy to even pretend to summon a demon. But two, and I love monsters and demons and scary stuff. And I love interesting things like that. So,
right.
But I don't know. I don't believe any of it. So I'm not going to conjure a fucking demon.
Yeah. I'm almost like, well,
don't exist.
What would be involved in it? Like, I would be like, fine, I don't care. Like,
you got to set your pentagram. You got to do salt circles so the demon can't get out. You've got candles. You got to find some kind of Necronomicon book to conjure them. So you know what kind of verses. It's a lot of work.
It's too much work.
You think you're going to do that much work?
No, I won't do that much work.
No, you're not going to do that much work.
No. If it was like, I could just go like Beelzebub, Beelzebub, Beelzebub in the bathroom mirror when everything's dark, like then I might.
I mean, hey, I guess I have conjured demons because I think I've played the Bloody Mary game. You've clearly played the Bloody Mary. Everyone's played it.
Yeah.
God, there was nothing scarier than doing Bloody Mary when you were a kid, huh?
Oh my God.
So fucking scary.
I was afraid to do it as a kid.
I was so scared, but I did it.
I didn't do it.
And
I wouldn't do it.
Scream and run, and then you swear to God to your friends, you'd be like, I fucking saw something.
I wouldn't do it when I was a kid, but then like, I don't know, I got like older, maybe teenager or something. And I was just like, this is stupid. And I was like, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. And it's like, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Is it going to happen?
It makes no sense at all, too. Yeah. Like, who set this up? Who's Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
Who created her?
Yeah.
Where did she come from?
I always think this is like some sort of Virgin Mary thing. Like,
yeah, probably. That was a good one, man.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice is a great one. Great demon. Although I don't think I'd want to deal with Beetlejuice. He just seems like a headache. Seems like a real fucking headache. So I think I'm going to go with someone different to bet. Well, listen, Andy, I think we know where you're going to end up. Bunkfunkers, let us know. What are you selling your souls for? Do you have any other kind of logical loopholes that you can poke in our soul selling scenarios? Let us know. Give us some ideas. I really want to hear what people think about this.
Yeah.
And if they could try and poke some interesting holes in logic into our scenarios. There's definitely some interesting ones. Andy, let's get to some verdicts here. Do you think you could sell your soul on the bunker scale?
On the bunker scale? Look, this is not going to be a surprise to anybody. It's case closed.
Wow.
There's nothing to do. It can't happen.
Right.
How would it even work? It's totally impractical. Nobody's ever profited from selling their soul. And you're a fool to think that you're going to outsmart the devil. And in fact, if you look at the Charlie Daniels song, Devil Went Down to Georgia, it's like not even clear why this kid is so good at playing the fiddle that he's better than Satan.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make, you know, it's like, okay. Like, what did he do that was so good with his fiddle?
Just practiced.
I guess. So I'm case closed.
Yeah.
But it's a fun topic. I mean, I have to say, like, it was fun.
Fun. Very fun.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think you can sell a soul. I don't think souls are tangible things that can be like they're not a commodity. It's not like my favorite commodity, frozen orange juice concentrate, which is, you know, very fun to deal in, and very much you can sell and buy that in mass quantities, which, you know, we have both done
right
multiple times in our lives.
I have several pallets at my house right now.
Oh, it's a great commodity.
I like to make my own push pops by cutting off one end of the can and sticking a stick in it. And then you just,
I guess that kind of is what orange sherbet is, huh?
Yeah.
Just with probably more sugar.
Yeah.
God, now I could really go for a Flintstones push pop. Good Lord in heaven. Were those the fucking best? So gross. Cause that paper would start soaking in all that melted sherbet.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be chewing on it and slurping it up, baby.
Yeah, I liked to do the full Flintstones experience where I would get a push pop. I would grind up Flintstones vitamins with fruity pebbles and like dip the push pop in that.
Holy fuck. That's both gross and amazing. Just the fruity pebbles actually could be pretty decent.
Yeah.
Bunkfuckers, that was our...
Oh, a rainbow sherbet push pop with fruity pebble.
Fuck me. That's what I'm selling my soul for.
Yeah, that's...
That's it?
Make that happen.
Bunkfuckers, that's our verdicts on selling your soul. What do you think? Let us know. Use the hashtag.
Hashtag Flintstones push pop.
Hashtag Flintstones push pop. Let us know what you think.
And let us know your flavor ideas for push pops.
Oh my God. Talk to us about push pops, please.
Sheesh.
Email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at MrBunkerPod. Find us on YouTube, same handle. Find us on Patreon, same handle. Patreon.com/MrBunkerPod for just $5 a month. Get access to the entire back catalog. Millions and millions of hours. Behind the scenes content. Videos of us. Gaming live streams. So much stuff.
Unfathomable hours of extra content.
Yeah, by the time this airs, one of the most recent Patreon episodes was a great episode we did looking at Dr. Bronner's, the soap guy, his fucked up life with our dear friend, Bunker correspondent Natalie O'Hamilton. She did a great job.
Awesome job.
Informing us on how fucked up Dr. Bronner's life was. And I don't know if I'm going to use this soap, but maybe one day I will.
I might.
You might.
Yeah.
And, but that's all on patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. Andy, soulless husk of a man. Anything else?
I just want to say, like, if you're out there right now and you're thinking about selling your soul, and you're looking for a soul broker to connect you with local demons in your area who are looking for souls.
Hot local demons.
Hot local demons. Spicy.
Hot single local demons.
Just let me know. And I'm happy to be the go-between between you and the forces of evil.
The forces of evil, Inc. Andy's a great broker. I can recommend his services in that alone.
Broker? I hardly even know her.
Oh, jeez. Well, for not the digital Mr. Bunker, but for my ersatz. Oh, Sandy Hart. I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
Oh, you got me. I am an ersatz. A poor facsimile for a human being.
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, I think that was good enough.
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right. I've never done it. No. Right.